All right, welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark. And in this show, we are going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading it. Today's Tuesday, December 6th. And wow, it has been a wild ride for the stock market in recent weeks, with stocks surging one day and then plunging the next. And yesterday was no exception. There were some concerns about the Fed's tightening policies causing stocks to finish lower. And here, the S&P 500 closed below its 200-day moving average and just below the 4,000 level. So what's in store today? What's happening here? And most importantly, how are we trading these markets? By the way, if this is your first time here, I'm Marcus Heidkotter. This super smart guy over there is my head coach, Mark Hodge. And we are real traders who trade live accounts. So therefore, we got a lot of trading experience and we're showing you how we trade these crazy markets. So trust me, we know our stuff and we are not afraid to tell you like it is. So if you're looking for some honest insights into the fascinating world of trading, you are in the right place. And geez, yeah, I mean, we talked about it. This roller coaster, right? I mean, one day we have the market surging and then the next day, going down. What's happening here, Mark?
Man, it's definitely a roller coaster ride. And if you look at the last couple of days, 4 days down, and that's erasing all of the impressive gains that we had last Wednesday when the markets and traders were impressed with what Fed Chair Jerome Powell had to say. So one day up, 4 days down, it's all gone.
Yeah, and there's really right now no real news. I mean, yesterday we had the ISM. Let me just switch over here to PowerX Optimizer. We had the ISM services PMI coming in better than expected, basically indicating that the economy is still strong. And this is where there were some concerns. Okay, the Fed will just keep raising interest rates. I mean, for the next meeting, which is next week, the probability is still pretty high that they're only raising it by 50 basis points. So what's everybody talking about here?
Well, you know, the 50 basis points is priced in at this point, right? It's really factored in. It's almost a given. But now the concern is just how long the Fed will need to keep rates higher and you know, potentially be hiking. And that is uncertain. And you bring up the meeting probabilities there.
Right, exactly. Because I think that's what it's all about right now. Because at some point, there were hopes that the Fed will stop raising interest rates pretty much in February and then be done and just observing it. And right now, as you can see, the idea is that we will go past the 5%. And this is where the question is, okay, will it tip the economy into a recession and therefore crush the stock market? Or will there be a soft landing? And this is, I mean, whenever you have these questions like, what will happen? It means uncertainty. And markets, traders, and investors hate uncertainty. And that's what we are seeing right now. This is the uncertainty. And I think until next week, this is here to stay.
I agree. I mean, I didn't expect the markets to just drift up higher into the Fed week. But I thought it had the potential to be nervous, maybe a little quiet, pulling back some. Not so aggressively like we've seen over the last 2 days. But at the same time, this uncertainty was expected. And, you know, the VIX has popped higher, not substantially, not this crazy, crazy move higher in the VIX, but up for the last 2 days, where it was interesting because we saw the exact opposite. It was actually falling on the first 2 days that were lower. But VIX is starting to drift back higher.
Yeah, the VIX is the fear gauge here, measuring volatility in the markets, and basically gives an indication of fear. And as you see, fear was kind of sucked out because Powell said what they're planning to do. So there was some more certainty, but right now the uncertainty is creeping in. And honestly, until next week, for this week, we only have the PPI on the schedule for Friday. And until then, traders are scratching their heads. And since next week, we have the FOMC meeting, the all-important one. Right now, FOMC members are in the quiet period. They are not allowed to talk. And this is where everybody says, okay, what's happening? What do you think about the IRS? Tell us something. And there is nothing right now. And this is where there's just some nervousness in the markets.
That's what we see.
Right. Well, plus, I just brought it up here very quickly. The 200-day moving average, right? We talked about it. We dipped above a little bit. And it seems that right now it is acting as resistance again. So I think there will be a battle around the 200-day moving average. That's a key technical level. Plus, we have a super round number here, the 4,000 level in the S&P 500.
That can act as support. We're just kind of in this area of confluence where everything's starting to add up. You have some support, you have some resistance, you have the 200-day moving average. I think 4,000 is significant for the S&P. Those round numbers traders tend to grab hold of. We'll just have to see if we can stick around that level or if we're going to drop more. Yeah. But I mean, gosh, I think we're going to... Marcus, I think you're going to get your 4,200.
I believe. So that's the important thing. We talked about it with our mastermind members this morning. Next week is the important event. We have on Tuesday the CPI index, which is a key inflation report. And then on Wednesday, we have the Fed meeting. Now, with these two meetings out of the way, and there could be a reaction to this. So next week, we might actually move lower, but then I think the path is open to the Santa Claus rally that we typically see going into the remainder of the year.
That's what I'm thinking. The Fed will do their thing, and then there will be a drift higher. I mean, with some data, I think we're seeing better inflation numbers, and a January jobs report that could finally show that things are starting to get a little nasty on the jobs front could help the market, right? I mean, even Pepsi, they said they're laying off workers at their headquarters. And, that's what it sucks to be a laid off employee or worker, but that's what the Feds want. That's what traders want right now, because that's going to help the inflation picture.
Yeah, because ultimately unemployment is still at a 50-year low, and it's at 3.7%, and the Fed is okay having it tick up to 4% or even slightly above, just for the purpose of getting inflation under control.
Yeah, 1.7 jobs available for every one person looking. So yeah, that needs to get a little more evened out.
So hey, Marcus, the 500 chart of the S&P 500. Oh. And I mean, we see that we opened pretty much unchanged. And for the first 10 minutes, we were just trading around the unchanged mark. And now we see a little bit of a slide. And again, on no major news. I mean, we have a few companies that had some news over the last couple of days. For example, Tesla, they said yesterday that they will cut production at their Shanghai factory. So they also had a few down days here. CRM, did you hear about CRM? I mean, they're losing their CEOs left and right.
The other one left.
Well, no. So CRM, I mean, part of CRM is Slack. And yesterday, yeah, Slack's CEO said, I'm out. Right. So, gotcha. I mean, a few days ago during the earnings report, supposedly caught everybody by surprise, their current co-CEO, yeah, they have two CEOs. One of their CEOs said, I'm out. And then yesterday, the CEO of Slack said, I'm out too. So I think there was a third one, but this is where, CRM is getting hammered here. Tesla down. And then today, Meta. Did you hear about Meta?
So yeah, so, this is interesting because they're threatening to remove news from Facebook if Congress passes legislation that helps publishers receive payments from tech companies. So that could be interesting.
That'll be interesting. So, but that's kind of individual stocks. There is no real major news in the markets that is driving it lower. It's just the nervousness right now. And we'll see. I mean, going back here to, let's go to the NASDAQ in a 5-minute chart. See that right now it feels that the falling has stopped, and there could be a rally going into the close, or as we just said, that the nervousness will continue for the next few days.
Hey, check out crude oil.
Where are we going? What's happening with crude oil? Oh, wow. Crude oil moving lower again.
Yeah, okay. They might close at lows of the year.
Jeez.
Or the lowest close of the year. Because we made lows around 74 at the end of November. But if we close where we're at or lower, it'd be the lowest close.
So next up for crude oil, $65 per barrel.
Could be. I mean, that's where it looks like there's some decent support around 62, 65.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Well, so the question is, how are we trading this? What are we going to do here, Mark?
Well, I'm looking for some new opportunities. I'm still in a couple of trades, but I have some cash to deploy when the timing's right. And still have a couple of trades on. You have CTRA up. We're both in this one. And it's only Tuesday, but might get assigned. And I'd like this.
Wait. Why do you like this? I mean, you want to get assigned? This is where you see some traders on a Tuesday because we sold the 26 put expiring on Friday. And sometimes traders on a Tuesday already see, it is trading below $26. Well, first of all, we're not getting assigned today. Typically, I mean, it has to trade below 26 by Friday. And we have another Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, four trading days. So you said it this morning in the mastermind. What is with the chicken? Don't count your chicken.
Yeah, don't count your chickens before they hatch because you might not get chickens, but you might get a golden egg. Right? You're gonna get paid if we close above 26. Just for clarification, if we stay below 26, it doesn't mean that we're gonna get assigned before expiration, right? As long as there's some time value in that option, it's very common. And what happens typically, you get assigned on the weekend for Monday. But with this one at 26, I sold a put because that's where I'd be happy owning this stock. And I want to clarify one thing, because this is a common misconception, because you have naked put selling strategies and you have the wheel, right? Even though you might sell a naked put to start the wheel is a different strategy. So some people who learn the wheel from us, they have sold puts in the past where their risk parameters, how they approach the trade, is to not get assigned under any circumstances at all. And so they panic in this situation. With the wheel, step two is getting assigned so we could sell covered calls, right? And that's what we've seen is very, very profitable as long as we're disciplined with our entry, as long as we pick good stocks and good strikes to set the trade up. So I'm content being assigned at 26. And if it doesn't happen, we'll look for more opportunities.
Yeah, and I want to bring up my trading log here and just show it that this year I have been assigned 35% of my trades. So this is one in three trades I've been assigned. But I'm very happy with this because, as you see, just selling puts, I made $83,000, $462 in realized profits. And then after getting assigned, close to $55,000 here in selling calls. So if I would never get assigned, if I would be too conservative or right now roll it out to not get assigned, I would miss out on a lot of premium. In fact, I mean, the trades for me that yielded the highest premium this year, ADI, $10,000, I got assigned there. BAC, $5,000, got assigned there. CLF, $14,000 in premium, got assigned there. As you can see, that's where we see, okay, call selling premium right here. Gold got assigned there. That was not that much. But if you look, for example, stocks like NVIDIA, $17,000, almost $18,000 in profits. Yeah, $8,000 coming from selling calls. This exactly. is why I think it is super important that you have quality stocks, as you said, Mark, and then not be afraid of getting assigned. Otherwise, it's not the wheel strategy. It's something else.
Exactly.
Now, looking at new opportunities, there's not too much. I mean, Tesla, super interesting. Tesla popped up a few times, and right now you could sell the 165 put and get 44% annualized. So that sounds like a good trademark. What do you think about this?
I'm not a fan of this one. We talked about it with the mastermind group, and I think that we could see more downside in Tesla, some volatility. Elon Musk and his roles and his focus tends to be all over the place right now. He's a little distracted, but also Tesla's been in a downtrend since September.
Right. The question is, where is support here? Where do you see support? Now, on the other hand, if you're looking at something like Oxy, right now the strike price is too high, but this is becoming interesting. Not for us, because we are already in CTRA, so we already are in gas and energy. Yep. But that's a stock that I would definitely keep an eye on. So Oxy, I think a level of somewhere around there, maybe 56 to 58 might be a good level to sell puts.
I agree. And I mean, I think 58 is just fine. But I would agree there is a dividend being paid this week. But some decent trade there.
Yeah, so that's definitely something you see, I flagged it as a maybe stock to keep an eye on. And it really depends of what's happening here with CTRA, because that's why we have the asset correlation. And we just want to double check. So I got rid of TPR. So these are the three stocks that I have right now. And if you look at Oxy and the correlation to CTRA, we see it's fairly high. I mean, not as high as I thought it would be, because they're both the same industry, but 0.6. So kind of high. I mean, for me, the cutoff would be 0.65. So I'm still interested in potentially trading Oxy.
I thought it would be higher, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, if you take something like Devon Energy into the mix, that's where we see that Devon Energy here to both to Oxy and CTRA, much, much higher. Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by the Oxy. But that's why we have the asset correlation to make sure that we see these things and say, okay, you know what? It might be okay to trade Oxy.
Yeah. If it pops What's up. The minimum for 30%?
For what?
Oxy.
Oxy? Well, let's bring it up here on the calculator. Let's move it over. And we see the minimum 21 cents.
Okay.
Why?
Yeah, it looks like on the 61 strike, bid 17, offers 18. So it would need to pull back a little bit more. The dividend, it looks like it goes ex dividend on Friday, and that would be a 13 cent dividend payment. So you could expect the stock to drop 13 cents on Friday just to account for the dividend.
But I mean, I'm keeping an eye on this. This might be something, especially if CTRA expires worthless on Friday, that might be something to trade next week.
Sure.
All right. Now, I know that we talked about assignment here, and this is where there's a lot of misconception about when do you get assigned and not assigned. And this is where I did a video on assignment risk, and I'm linking to the video right here. Take a look at this, because it's important to know what is the risk of assignment when you're selling options. So check this out. And then we'll see you again tomorrow.
Happy trading, everybody.